Let's Talk is brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network and is made possible by our many generous patrons. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit sqpn.com/give.
You're listening to Let's Talk, episode 43, brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network. Howdy, y'all. Father Corey Stika. Welcome once again to Let's Talk, our SQPN community podcast. Glad you could join us. Got a couple of returning panelists. First, Dom Bettinelli, CEO of SQPN, is joining us. How's it going, Dom?
Very well, Father Corey. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well, doing well. We'll be talking a little bit of how nice it finally is outside, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And then Steve Nelson is back as well. How's it going, Steve?
Oh, it's going well. I'm really happy to be back, and have a chance to do some podcasting again.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're glad to have you. And of course, you know, as Dom mentioned last month when he was on, Steve is on the board once again with SQPN. And so we're glad to have you on the board, and we're glad to have you involved with SQPN.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, what do they say about bad pennies? They keep finding their way back.
Sometimes I think people feel like that when they hear me on Let's Talk, but no, I'm kidding.
But they're still legal tender. So
at least, you know, we're not like Canada. We haven't got rid of them yet.
Yes, yes. No, actually, if I could jump in, like, I'm very grateful to Steve for offering to join the board of SQPN, because he brings a wealth of experience. For those of you who don't know, Steve was executive director for a period of time and during some of the most formative years for SQPN. And we were looking to add some experience and institutional memory to the board. And so Steve was one of the first people I reached out to, and he graciously said yes, despite his very busy schedule. But we're very grateful that you're going to help us grow SQPN into the future.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I'm still getting my feet wet this second time around, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's good. Now, for those maybe who don't remember or don't know, what do you do for your day job, Steve?
Oh, my day and night job.
Day, night, evenings, weekends, airport job.
My title is National Executive Director for Kappa Kappa Psi and Tau Beta Sigma, which are two honorary service leadership organizations for college musicians. So that's a lot of words right there, but it's basically two fraternal organizations, a fraternity and a sorority for college band members. And they're really good kids. I mean, if you know anything about band kids, they're good to begin with. And we get the sort of the cream of the crop, the leaders out of that group. So they're fun to work with. And, you know, it's fun to support music through college bands. So I get to hear a lot of good music and interact with a lot of great kids across the country.
I was going to ask, you get to go to different music events and things like that? College music events and things like that?
Some of them, yeah. And we have six regional conventions every year. Which is this time of year is why I travel a lot. I have three of those regional conventions coming up between now and the end of April. So my weekends are pretty busy.
Well, that's very, very cool. And then, of course, like you said, you know, Dom said, you've graciously agreed to be on the board with us on SQPN. So that's adding more to your workload.
Well, it's weird. So SQPN helped me, in a way, get the position I'm in now, and I had a lot of new experiences that I'm happy to bring back to SQP. Hopefully, it'll be a value organization.
Awesome.
So in your little bit of spare time, what do you do for fun?
Well, right now, I'm halfway through moving into a new house, so whenever I have a free minute, I'm picking up a box in one place and moving it to the other. That, and I try to sneak away for baseball games, college baseball.
Yes, it's that time of year.
I live in Stillwater, Oklahoma, which is the home of Oklahoma State University. They have a pretty good baseball team.
Nice.
There's actually a bobblehead night tonight, which I'm hoping to sneak away.
Oh, fun.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked because, of course, officially MLB has started. Major League Baseball has started. So, although they still have some, they're kind of in a weird phase right now because they had the opening series in Tokyo, but they still have some spring training exhibition games. So it's really, they're being weird this year, but still, it's spring.
Who played in Tokyo?
It was the Mariners and the A's.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The two teams that are closest to Tokyo. Gee, exactly. Imagine that.
Yeah, I love baseball.
Same here. Very much so. And of course, you know, for those of us in more far more northern climes, we're really happy this time of year because it's actually spring. The snow is melting.
Yes. So where I am, we're it's actually raining right now, but it's spring-like, sort of. We're it's 40 degrees today, so it's sort of creeping there. But we tomorrow it'll be near 60, which
nice.
You know, for folks who live south of us, that seems cold. But my kids are outside running around in like bare feet and shorts in this weather. So
yeah, same here. It's you know, we had, I think, something like 40 days of below freezing, and many of those days were below zero at some point.
Oh.
And so, of course, this is zero Fahrenheit for those listening in other countries. And so now that we're having upwards of 55, like right now, my little thermometer thing is showing 54 degrees.
Nice.
So, and sun's out and it's beautiful.
It's always funny to think about, like, in October, 54 feels freezing. But in March, it feels like, oh, this is awesome. But I'm looking forward to the first day I can fire up my grill, though. That's spring to me.
Well, I won't mention the 72 degrees we're having today.
Please don't. So anyways, it was good talking to you, Steve.
Not at all jealous.
No, not at all. So one of the times when you were on Steve, we had talked about RCIA. Mm-hmm. I think you were on because you were as a sponsor. It was you and Jimmy were on. Jimmy Akin were on talking about RCIA.
Yeah.
And it was a great conversation. You can go back and you can find that obviously at sqpn.com/letstalk. If you haven't listened to it, it's one of our previous episodes. You can go back and find it. But you were mentioning before we started recording that there's kind of an RCIA related event going to be starting this weekend, specifically at Mass, as we're recording this. So by the time you hear this, it'll be after the first one.
Yeah, the scrutinies. You know, I've been an RCIA sponsor several times, but I've gone through the scrutinies or participated in the scrutinies before, but it's never been really fully defined to me. So I'm just curious to know more about that.
Right. And that's, you know, it sounds, I remember the first time I heard about the scrutinies and it's just like, we're going to grill them in the middle of Mass. I mean, you know, we're going to put them up there. Why do you want to become Catholic?
We have ways of making you talk.
We call that hazing in my world.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, and if you've ever seen the scrutinies, that's not what they are. They are I think a good way to put it is they are kind of scrutinizing why you want to become Catholic. You know, why, you know, what is your interest in, you know, are you ready for it? But it's not, again, it's not like a quiz. It's not like you're being quizzed there in the middle of Mass.
It's introspection. It's about looking at your own motivation.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. You know, unfortunately, I forgot to grab my RCIA book, or I've got, you know, the book that's got all those in there. But they really are more of a spiritual guidance towards baptism than they are an actual question and answer type thing. You know what I mean?
Well, I find the timing interesting because two Sundays ago, we had the rite of election. Mm-hmm. Where people basically stand up in front of the church and say that they desire to join the church, right?
Right.
And we went and we visited with the bishop and all that kind of stuff. And now we're doing the scrutinies. It seems like a little reverse to me.
Yeah, you know, it is because we've already kind of said that they are coming into the church. You know, they are the elect now and they are coming into the church. But
it's kind of a reminder. I, matter of fact, I just found from one, what site is this? I can't find. Of course, Diocese of Springfield in Illinois, you know, they talk about that, you know, the purpose of the scrutinies are, you know, sin and evil are real, that there is sin, there is evil, but salvation is also real, and that sin is recognized in the light of grace. You know, so it's kind of a reminder for not just those coming into the church, but for us as well, you know.
And isn't there there's a prayer of exorcism as part of the scrutinies, right? I mean, that you pray over them that they would be freed from the power of evil in their journey to the baptism, right?
Right. That is correct. You have both the scrutinies, again, these evaluations, but you also have the minor exorcisms that go on. And throughout RCIA, there are minor exorcisms. These originally were separate, a lot of them, you know, if you go all the way back to the time of the early church. But now, in, you know, when they developed the RCIA process in the 70s, they combined them. So that's part of it, where you're reminded of the effect of sin, you're reminded of the, you know, the effect of evil, and then you have the exorcism against it.
Right.
You know, so it's
just, and to be clear, we're not talking Hollywood's green goo flying everywhere. That's sort of thing. Exorcism is telling evil, get away or get out or that sort of thing.
An exorcism is there's major and minor exorcisms, and that could be a whole topic of exorcisms in its own. But the major exorcisms are the ones that you think of, where the priest comes with the holy water and the book and, you know, calling the devil out and all the, you know, the ones you see in the movies, Exorcism of Emily Rose, The Exorcist, you know, those things. Then there's the minor exorcisms, which have been done throughout the history of the church, where they're more of a, first of all, you don't need special permission to do them. Any priest can do the minor exorcisms. The major exorcisms, you need special permission from the bishop to do. The minor exorcisms are casting out of evil, but they're not, again, they're not the big formal process. And because we all have evil in our lives, the devil is working on us. We have our, you know, the fallen angels are working on us, the demons, and they push them away. This isn't for people who are possessed. They're for those of us who are affected by sin, which is all of us. Mm-hmm.
I would think that there would be, for the people that are joining the church but have never been baptized, I think there's probably a special kind of spiritual warfare going on, you know, injecting doubt and things like that as they approach, you know, Easter. And so maybe I could see that being very helpful.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You're right. I mean, when someone's making that kind of choice in their life to enter the church, for example, the devil, the satanic forces, they're ready to push back.
I mean, when someone gets baptized, I mean, that is a big loss for the forces of evil. I mean, that is a huge step forward for that individual. So, you know, out of the power of darkness and under the power of the light. And you can imagine that spiritual warfare for that person's soul gets really intense at that moment. Yeah.
Well, and it's, if you've ever read the Screwtape Letters, C.S. Lewis made it really clear where the last, spoilers, if you haven't read it, and, you know, what, 60 years or 70 years since he wrote it, that the last letter from Screwtape to Wormwood, his underling, is that they've lost the patient, the person that the tempter was going after, and because he found Christ. He was a Christian, but he kind of was a, you know, nobody Christian, but he received an infusion of God's grace. And it was like a painful burning light to them. You know, it was like fire to them that they couldn't handle it. You know, so, you know, they want to keep us away from that.
They do.
Which, by the way, if you've never heard John Cleese's version of Screwtape Letters, very much worth listening to.
Oh, my gosh. I have to.
John Cleese?
That.
Really?
I've
not heard of that. Oh, gosh. I have to look that up.
Because he's got such a great voice and such a great inflection and everything. It's worth listening to. It really is. And this, I mean, again, this is what the scrutinies are about, is a lot of that you know, fighting that spiritual warfare, fighting that recognition of sin, but also, again, also recognizing the salvation in our lives. One thing that's interesting about the scrutinies is on those Sundays, you use the year A cycle reading. So, of course, in Mass, we have ABC, you know, 3-year cycle. This year, we're in year C. Unless you're doing the scrutinies, you always use year A. That's why you're, you know, for those of us who have the missalettes, the, you know, Oregon Catholic Press missalettes or the other ones, it, these next three Sundays are confusing for people because you'll have the normal readings for year C and then the year A readings. And which ones do we use? Well, we don't have RCIA this year, so we don't use year A. You could have masses, or you could have parishes where they have all the RCIA candidates at one mass. And so other masses are using year C, except the one with the RCIA candidates.
Does that mean you have to come up with two homilies?
Usually.
Go to the file cabinet, pull out the year A homily.
Exactly.
I think that's what our parish is doing. I think we're having one mass with the scrutinies.
Yep. And so, you know, ideally the priest would preach on the readings of that mass with the light of RCIA in mind.
Right.
You know, with what's going to happen in the scrutinies, you would bring that in. I mean, that's the ideal, but.
So the gospel stories that they use are the woman at the well, mm-hmm. the man born blind, and the raising mm-hmm. of Lazarus.
Yep.
Interesting.
And those don't, I think those three do not carry over to year B or C.
Yeah, I should.
Off the top of my head, I want to say, because I know there's like this coming Sunday, again, it'll be the Sunday later for those of you listening, the Sunday that just happened, the third Sunday of Lent, B and C are not the same story. Hmm. You know, yeah, they're different gospels. Or no, your C is not the same story.
Yeah, this year it's a different gospel. From Luke, and it's the fig tree.
Right.
And the Tower of Siloam, where the tower gets built and then falls on people. Those are two very different stories.
Yeah. So it's different. I mean, things really change with the scrutinies, and it's something, you know, like you mentioned, Steve, people really don't understand, you know, like you mentioned before, it's just like, why do we do these scrutinies, especially after they've already been accepted as the elect?
Right.
You know, but
becoming elect is just to say, I'm entering into a journey. It's not the end of the journey. And this is part of it.
The next step within the journey, you know, because of course they don't become fully Christian until their baptism.
You know, one of the things I'm looking at, these three gospels that we read, and I'm trying to think of what the common denominator is. And I think each of them has something to do with transformation. Mm-hmm. The woman at the well, she's sort of, Jesus calls this woman on the excuses and that she comes up with, you know, you have to come at the off hours to the well because you are living your life in sin.
Right.
And he calls to a transformation from that sin. The man born blind is transformed by physically and from his sin, you know, symbolized with the restoration of sight. And of course, Lazarus rises from the dead. He physically rises from the dead, but also mm-hmm. it's symbolic of our rebirth in baptism and those three things. So I think it's interesting that it's transformations and sort of deliverance from death and from ailment and from sin that we see it in there. Interesting.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's very appropriate for people joining the church to hear. Because, I mean, that's what they're expecting, or that's, you know, There's a transformation that will occur with them, and bringing that to their attention is important, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find the text for the scrutinies, and unfortunately, I'm failing miserably.
For the actual prayers?
Yeah. One complaint I have with the church today is the idea of actually putting the text of the rites online and making them accessible.
We're not allowed to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's something the church is, very, very opposed to for reasons. So
copyright and control.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's actually, that's an interesting discussion we might have sometime. It was about, Brandon Vaught, the writer and blogger who works with Bishop Barron, several years ago, kind of brought up this whole idea that all the church's texts should be in Creative Commons, that the church still controls them, has authority over them, but that they should be available to people. So that's and I would love to have that discussion again sometime, because
we'll have to put that on, maybe even invite him for an episode, because this is the kind of thing where to have these texts available means not just can they be used, you know, priests can use them, lay people can use them, but they can be prayed over. We can, you know, we can look at them, we can research them, and because these textbooks, the books that these texts are in, are not cheap.
That's why I think they're trying to subsidize their printing, but they misunderstand. Yes, you're subsidizing printing, but you're also making them obscure and difficult to access, and perhaps in hindering their wider use and the benefit. It applies to a lot of things, including scripture. It just drives me crazy how hard it is to get the NAB, that's the Catholic official liturgical translation, how hard it is to use that and get at it. So a lot of people end up using the more freely available, but less accurate versions that are available online.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And I mean, they do at least put, the USCCB does put the New American Bible Revised Edition on their website. It's not very easy to use, but it is there.
Right. And then if you try to use it elsewhere, there's all kinds of restrictions on how much you can quote and all kinds of stuff. And it gets tricky. Yeah. I have to admit, I've run afoul of their copyright office in the past, years ago, when I posted something that I shouldn't have. And so I pulled it down. But yeah, it was
tisk tisk. No.
but that's a tangent. That's a tangent.
Another discussion for another day, too. No.
It's interesting that there's also a laying on of hands in the rite of the scrutinies, which is very much like holy orders, where there's a laying on of hands.
Well, and it's very much a form of prayer, but it's also an invoking of the Holy Spirit, because you look at not just holy orders, but also the rite of anointing of the sick. There's a point where the priest lays his hands on the person being anointed. And, you know, if you do the version I think most priests do, which is the ones for within an institution, you know, within a hospital, you do the laying out of hands and then immediately do the
anointing,
the actual anointing. Hmm. But that's always a sign. Whenever you get that laying on of hands or the hands being held over a person, that's always a sign of the Holy Spirit being invoked on that person. So, you know, we're during those scrutinies when that's being done. That's what's happening is, you know, the priest is asking the Holy Spirit to come down upon that person as part of the whole process that eventually leads to, again, coming down upon them at baptism and confirmation. Hmm.
And then after that, they're dismissed.
Yeah. A lot of times you'll get usually get the dismissal. If they do the dismissal of the elect at that point, they do it after the scrutinies. I don't believe they remain. It's been a while since I've seen that done, because, you know, being in a small parish, we don't do the dismissals because we need them. You know, the people who are teaching need to be there for mass. Right. So, you know, it's hard to find volunteers that are willing to give up their mass every week.
I do remember when I was in bigger parishes, seeing that moment where when do the scrutinies occur in the mass? At what point in the mass? After the homily?
Yes. Okay. I believe it's right after the homily. That's usually when things like that happen.
Okay. So at the transition between Liturgy of the Word and Liturgy of the Eucharist.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Pretty much. At least pretty close. Because usually it'll be, as I recall, it'll be the scrutinies and then the creed and then the intercessions and then on into the offertory and so on.
I suppose when you think about it, since they're not yet baptized, they're not expected to say the creed yet, I guess.
Correct. And there is a point where the creed is actually presented to them. And that's about this time as well.
Okay.
You know, it's before, I think it's between the scrutinies and before the actual baptism or somewhere in that point. Okay. The Lord's Prayer and the creed are both presented in a symbolic way to the elect.
Wow.
Okay. And I want to say it's within this time period as well. Again, I apologize to those listening. I was going to grab my book and completely forgot. I can see it sitting there about 15 feet away. You know how that goes.
Well, in Father's defense, I sort of brought this up right before we started recording. So,
So this is going off of memory, but there's obviously, we'd like to hear from those of you who are listening that have gone through this process, whether as someone being baptized and coming into the church or as someone who was a sponsor, like Steve is, and like I was before I entered the seminary.
Steve, what's it like been like being a sponsor for someone in this process?
Oh, it's great. So I'm sponsoring a 20-year-old college student who decided on his own that he wanted to explore joining the church. And he's been great to work with because he will have questions and he'll research the answers himself. And so my job has really been just to be a companion on the journey and not really a mentor in a sense of, so I've shifted my approach to being a companion on the journey and trying to expose him to different aspects of Catholic life. Like awesome. I set up a tour of Catholic charities and things like that. So, because he comes from a sort of a non-denominational Baptist-like church. And so pretty much everything Catholic is foreign to him. And so, he got there on his own by, reading church fathers and church history and stuff like that. So it's, I feel my role is more of Catholic life, Catholic culture kind of things at this point. Right. And, I've had a great time with him. It's been so rewarding to me. I hope it's been half as rewarding for him.
That's a great point, Steve, that I think a lot of people that when they think, hey, would you be a confirmation sponsor? They think, oh, I don't know enough about the faith. I couldn't possibly teach someone. Well, that's not your job. You don't have to teach them the faith. Someone's taking care of that. But the idea that is you're just showing them what it's like, all the different things about being Catholic. What are the prayers? What's a good prayer book? What do I do with the rosary? That's sort of like the sort of normal everyday stuff that's involved in just living a lay Catholic life that is new to them and is old hat to us. I think that's a great idea.
One of the things I think a lot of people struggle with RCIA is the balance of teaching versus showing, because yes, there should be a catechetical-esque element of it. We should be bringing out the catechism. We should be teaching them. But that's not the only thing that RCIA is for. It's also for helping them learn to live as a Catholic, that to be Catholic should change your entire life. It's not just, I was going to the Lutheran church and now I'm coming to the Catholic church, or I wasn't anything and now I'm going to be a Christian.
You've changed brands of soap.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's, I think a lot of people look at it that way, and RCIA should help them understand, no, this is far deeper. This goes to the depth of your soul. Mm. And that's like kind of going back to the scrutinies. That's one of their purposes, is to show that this is something that is going to change you in a good way.
Mm. Yeah. It's more like going from being a Mets fan to being a Boston Red Sox fan or something like that. The Red Sox.
What are those two teams? I don't know those two teams. Are those minor league? No.
Yes. They have the DH, so it doesn't really. Well, one of them has the DH, so it doesn't really matter.
Mets is real baseball, at least.
Yes, at least that's real baseball.
So, anything else on the scrutinies or any of this you want to? Either of you.
I don't know. The issue I'm having right now is that I go to one parish and he's going through RCIA at the Catholic Student Center. So as in all typical college students, I don't always get all the information that I need from him. And so it's like, I'm surprised. It's like, oh, we're doing that this week. Okay, good.
Exactly.
So what comes after the scrutinies then? So like between the scrutinies and Easter Sunday or the Easter Vigil, is there more to this?
I think that's the point where they are presented again with the creed, presented with the Lord's Prayer,
I mean, we're pretty much in Holy Week just, after that, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's, basically, yeah.
Because you got the fifth Sunday is the Sunday before Palm Sunday. Right. The Sunday of Lent, which is the last of the scrutiny. So it goes right from the scrutinies to Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday.
Okay. Yes. Of course, Palm Sunday.
And well, and those experiences, you know, speak for themselves in a lot of ways. I mean,
oh my gosh. Yeah. I can't imagine what it would be like to experience those things for the first time as an adult, you know, coming in fresh. I mean, I grew up Catholic, so all of this stuff is sort of, you know, just in my blood. But just, I'd love to, in fact, in some ways, that's one of the benefits of being a sponsor is you can experience it through someone else's eyes, that seeing it for the first time. But I can't imagine what it would be like to encounter these experiences fresh.
Right.
It would be amazing to see.
Absolutely.
I tend to cry a lot at Easter vigils.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
It's my thing. Cried at
yeah. I cried once at the Easter Vigil, but it was because I brought my kids who were toddlers at the time.
Oh, boy.
That's a story for another day. I will share that hilarious event to you as a warning to parents.
Yeah.
About the Easter Vigil. But no, actually, I have to say, when I went to school at the Franciscan University of Steubenville, and they had amazing – there was always several kids who were going through RSIA at the school that year. Every year they had some, and the experience of watching that Easter vigil, I mean, for one thing, the vigil would take 5 or 6 hours. Mm-hmm. They never skimped on any bit of the rite, any tiddly bit that you could add in to that was optional. Not optional, not a Steubenville. It's always, you have to do it. But you're right. It's so moving to see just washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. I mean, just that moment. Yes. It's incredible. So,
yep.
Well, I always want the Easter fire to be bigger.
Oh, yeah.
More fire, bigger.
I want a bonfire. I want, yeah.
Exactly. I remember one year in a parish, very, very much more rural parish than here, they actually had like, you know, a 55-gallon burn barrel that they filled up with big old logs and doused it in diesel and big fire. It was fun. It was also about 10... No, it was about 20 feet away from the church, too. So make sure that nothing burned down.
Right, exactly.
Sometime I'll have to share with you a video that I shot when I was in Papua New Guinea. Now, they know how to do an Easter fire. It exploded.
Oh, wow.
They were using dry bamboo. And if you've ever burned dry bamboo...
Oh, I bet it burns well.
It burns well. And then when those little air pockets in the middle heat up, it goes off like a grenade.
Ooh, fun.
Wow. And then people run away.
That's awesome.
So we're obviously, as Catholics, we're a bunch of pyromaniacs. So.
Yes, yes. It's an excuse.
More candles, more candles.
Yeah. Well, very good, very good. Well, let's take a quick break here before we do our picks of the week. And we even have a little bit of feedback this week that we'll read. But so, Dom, are we looking for volunteers?
Well, funny you should ask, Father Corey.
not my very, very subtle and not so obvious at all transition to get Dom to talk about the volunteers we need.
So SQPN is a volunteer organization. Primarily, I'm the only regular employee of the organization, and but everyone else donates their time and to do all of the work that's involved. And there's a lot of work that goes into making the almost 8-9 separate shows, maybe more. Something like that. And it takes a lot of work, a lot of effort, a lot of time. And so we're looking for some help because we're continuing to grow. We want to grow even bigger. We want to do more and more and reach more people. And to do that, we need more help. And we're looking for some people who might have a particular set of skills, to quote Liam Neeson's role there in Taken. We don't need you to kill anybody, but what we do need is people who might have skills in, particularly in audio editing. And if you've used programs like Logic or Adobe Audition or Pro Tools, you understand concepts like compression and equalization and leveling and noise reduction.
Right.
we have workflows that we've developed to kind of make it straightforward. So we understand, you know, we could hand those over and say, hey, this is how you do it. So it's not like you have to start from scratch. But if we kind of need people who know a little bit about this already so that we don't have to do too much training. If that describes you and you've got a little time, we're not looking for someone to do all the shows, but if you could do like one show a week or two even, but even if you could do one show a week, that would be a huge help to the organization. So we're looking for that. And then we're also looking for maybe people to do a little producing. And by that, what I mean is someone to help organize the preparation of the shows. So for example, on Let's Talk, it would be great to have someone who could help keep track of guests, could contact, email people, remind people that they're going to be on the show this week and what time, make sure we've got their Skype address and those sorts of things. Some light organizational work, some light preparation work to help us organize, gather up the feedback, for instance, and that sort of thing. Those sorts of things would be of immense help. And we're not looking for a huge commitment from anybody. And it's even a limited time commitment. If you want to say, I want to try this out for 6 weeks, I want to try this out for a month or 6 months or whatever it is, I can only do it until the summer. I can only do it during the summer. Maybe you're a teacher and you're going to have some time in the summer, a little more time, that sort of thing. We'll take whatever we can get. So if you could email me at help@sqpn.com, that would be great. So thank you.
Well, excellent. Yeah. And please do volunteer to help. If nothing else, maybe we can get a little more organized with Let's Talk and our conversations. No, appreciate those who do help as well. Also want to encourage everyone listening to support us. You know, we are a volunteer organization, as Dom said, but we do have financial costs that we have to meet, financial needs that we need to meet. And so we want you to go to sqpn.com/give. There you could join as one of our patrons on Patreon. Try to say that quickly without tying your tongue up. This week, we'd like to thank some of our patrons, as we've been doing: Pat F, Steve S, Michelle M, Daniel B, and Dante V. Thank you very much for your support. We greatly appreciate all those who support SQPN, whether through Patreon or other means, and want to encourage you, those who aren't, to consider giving us some support, even if it's just a couple of dollars a month. We always hear it in such a cliche, but it is so true. Every little bit really does help us so much. So again, thanks to those who support us, and thank you for considering those who aren't, thank you for considering supporting us as well. Before we go on to our pick of the week, we actually have some feedback this week, and we greatly appreciate that. You know, if you wish to send feedback, you can send it to letstalk@sqpn.com. No apostrophe, of course. Jenny says, talking about our senior scams, or just scams in general, the scam calls, internet scams, that we had a couple of weeks ago in episode 41. She says, the phone messages my mom is constantly getting imply that if you do not call back within 24 hours, you will never be eligible for any Medicare benefits. Those ones are horrible. I hate the Medicare ones, especially Medicare and IRS. These calls have been coming for months, ironically. A few years ago, they would leave messages for a random name stating that his identity had been stolen. I would just wonder how many decent people fell for that scam. These type of scammers are evil. Thankfully, she simply does not answer any calls. It's just sad that we have come to this. Mm. Well, thank you, Jenny, for your feedback. And I think we agree completely that some of these scams are just horrible. I mean, there's some of them are pretty obvious. This is Windows tech support. Yeah, there's no such thing as Windows tech support. But some of these here, especially where they prey on seniors who don't know better, that they sound like it's the IRS or Medicare or something like that, or Social Security, something that they're could be potentially life threatening for them.
Look out for your elder relatives and friends, and encourage them to always. That it's okay for them to contact you to ask about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's always the reminders, the IRS won't just call. Medicare, same thing. They won't just call. They will send a letter.
Right.
And contact you that way first. Right. So, well, very good. Let's go on to our pick of the week. Steve, do you have a pick for us this week?
I do. I can't remember if I mentioned this one before or not. I may have. But there's a local podcast here called Pastors of Payne, P-A-Y-N-E, as in Payne County. And it's the two priests in our county, and they've made it the mission of the church to evangelize the entire county. And
nice.
They have a little podcast out there, and they talk about what's going on in the church, you know, the liturgical seasons and what's going on in the local parishes and stuff. But they're just fun to listen to. They're two priests in their 30s, and they're just hilarious. We're very lucky to have them, but other people might also enjoy hearing them. So that's Pastors of Payne, P-A-Y-N-E, and you can find it on all the usual podcast sites.
Excellent. Awesome. Yeah, I'll have to check it out. Definitely. Always good to hear my brother priests podcasting, so that's a very good thing. How about you, Dom? What do you have for a pick?
So it is First Communion season and confirmation season, and that is always a good time to think about getting a lasting, meaningful gift for the young person who's receiving, or someone who's going through RCIA and going to be receiving the church on the Easter Vigil. So I want to recommend this Etsy shop called Iron Lace Design, and it's done by a friend who she's a single mom, and she has a artistic skill in making beautiful jewelry out of a technique called Japanese chainmail. Japanese chainmail is a very specific kind of technique of making chainmail that is ultra strong. And she makes necklaces and other things, but she also makes rosaries and religious medals. And these rosaries, let me tell you, they are strong. Like, if you give one of these rosaries to a kid, it is going to take him a lot of effort to break one of these. I mean, these are literally stainless steel chainmail, but they're also beautiful. And sure. If you go to, we'll put a link in the show notes to her Etsy shop. It's Iron Lace Design, and you go in and check out some of the examples there. But she also, like, there's only a few different examples there because she makes custom ones too. So if you contact her and say, "I'd love to get one of these rosaries. I want to get it in a particular kind of bead or color," or you can ask, you know, what kinds of options do I have, or this is my budget. What could I get for this amount? They tend to be a little more expensive than what you're going to get down at your local Catholic bookstore. These are high quality lifetime rosaries that they'll last for a lifetime. And if you buy one, you are doing a work of mercy in supporting a single Catholic mom, providing for herself and her kids. So based on those two things, I highly recommend it. So it's Iron Lace Designs at Etsy.
Excellent. Excellent. Have to check it out. Sounds very interesting. My pick this week is something actually that's been around since the 80s. It's a book series that's published by Scepter Publishing called In Conversation with God. And it's a series of daily meditations on the scripture readings for that particular day. So it follows the liturgical cycle. It's seven books, ranging from, you know, a few pages to fairly thick, but it's each day of the liturgical season has an entry, and it's like three sections per day. So there's different reflections on the different parts of the scriptures and everything. It's wonderful, wonderful resource. It's been in public, like I said, it comes from the 80s. It was published originally in 87 in Spain in Spanish, and then was translated into English a couple of years later and has been reproduced since. Like my edition is year 2000 is when it came out, but they still have them available. They're still printing them. You can get them either the paper copy in either individual volumes or full, you know, collection in a box, or you can get it on Kindle as well. So if you would rather use the Kindle version, you could do it that way. But it's worth it because, you know, it takes 5 minutes to do the reading. And again, it's a reflection on the scriptures. It brings in the popes. It brings in the saints. It brings in the catechism. It brings in, well, not the catechism because it predates the catechism, but it brings in the scriptures, of course. It's so much good stuff is brought in and given to you for daily reflection. Something, again, you could do, you know, if you only got 5-10 minutes for a holy hour, you could spend with these books. So very much worth checking out. Again, it's In Conversation with God and written by Francis Fernandez is the name of the person who wrote this series, again, back in the 80s. So check it out. Very, very much worth reading. Well, thank you both again for coming on. Steve, where could people find you?
Well, I have a blog that's gathering dust. It's everythingesteban.com. I have plans to always to reintroduce that, but, you know, time. Oh, yes. You can follow me on Twitter, and my handle is Steve_Nelson.
Excellent. And Dom?
Well, you can find me all over sqpn.com. I'm pretty much on most of those shows. But if you want to find my stuff outside of that, if you go to my website, betnet.com, BETTNET.com, I have a blog there that I'm reviving. There's a bit of a renaissance in Catholic blogging that's being, some people are trying to get going, where people are blogging once again. I'm trying to be a part of that. And so I'm blogging again there. I'm doing a series on how we make podcasts here at SQPN, the process. So you might find that interesting. You might not, but check it out. BETTNET.com.
Yeah, I'm following it because maybe I'll learn a few things that I should be doing that I'm not. No.
Me too.
Exactly. So again, Father Corey Stika, you can find me at my website where I post my homilies, frcorey.org. You can find me on several of the SQPN podcasts other than Let's Talk, Secrets of Star Trek, Secrets of Doctor Who, and I pop up other places once in a while. And on Facebook, and Father Corey Stika, and Twitter is frcoreystika. Once again, please go to sqpn.com/give to join in our Patreon campaign, and our feedback is letstalk@sqpn.com. Thank you very much for listening, and God bless.